Yes, as I told the children, we are today looking at that sixth church, recorded the words of Jesus in Revelation 3. Now, Philadelphia, the city, was 30 miles southeast of Sardis that we looked at earlier. Philadelphia was named for Attalus Philadelphus, the Attalid king, who served from 159 to 138 B.C. Philadelphia was then, as today, known as the city of brotherly love. It was a very fertile land. It was known in that day for its grape orchards and whatever you might do with grapes. But it was also built on a fault line, and it was subject to earthquakes. And in the year 17 A.D., the entire city was devastated and leveled by an earthquake. Caesar's new city was then built after this quake in 17. And it's to this new city, this new Philadelphia, that John has the vision, Jesus has the words, recorded in the Revelation chapter 3. And I'll begin reading in verse 7. If you're home, have your Bibles, or if you're here, let me read. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, they are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command, I endure patiently. I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole earth to test the inhabitants of the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. The church at Philadelphia, according to verse 8, it was a church of little significance. Really, it was little in strength because it was a newer church. Their numbers were small. Their financial resources must have been limited, and their status of all the churches was the least. In verse 9, it seemed that they had problems, just like the church at Smyrna. Problems with Jews who were not working with them, but working against them. Verse 10, Jesus said, persecution is coming, but those believers in Philadelphia, you will be spared. Jesus told them, I am coming soon. For many of the churches, that would have been a warning, but to these, it was a comfort. And he finishes that comfort in verse 12 by giving such hope and stability in the midst of their uncertainty. Like the first church that we looked at, the church at Smyrna, as I told the children, the church at Philadelphia, you will not find any words of criticism. There aren't any words of judgment. There aren't words of impending doom, no bewares at all. Jesus, as John heard, only gives words of praise and encouragement. So what is the message? The message to the church at Philadelphia, the message for the church in Lufkin. What's the message for you and for me? I think it's found in verse 8. Jesus said, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door. Now, with very few exceptions, very few indeed, anytime the words "an open door" is mentioned in the New Testament, it refers to mission. It refers to mission and the call to witness, the call to ministry. It's a call of open evangelism, of sharing the good news. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 and 9. And Paul's told these believers, he said, "I'm going to stay in Ephesus because a great door of ministry has opened for me." In his second letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 2:12, Paul said, "I went to Troas to preach, and I found that the Lord had opened a door for me for ministry." In Acts, when Luke was contemplating and sharing of the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 14, Luke writes, "Paul and Barnabas arrived in Antioch, and they heard how God had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles." An open door. The church at Philadelphia. To the church at Philadelphia, Jesus was saying, "The door is open. Stand by it." Now, the door was open because of the great power of Jesus Christ himself. Christ had opened the door in Philadelphia, the door for mission and ministry. Jesus Christ was so alive to these believers. He was in their midst. He knew them. He loved them. He cared for them. And when you have received the gift of Christ, you can't just keep it in. These believers in Philadelphia, they couldn't contain the love, the hope, the faith they had. For they looked around their community and they knew it was a broken and hurting place. They couldn't contain it. The door was open. Last week, Love Lufkin. Why did we do that? Why do we invest thousands of dollars to go into our community to put up a sign to do some work? And it was a beautiful afternoon to do so. We do it because we can't contain the love we have for God and the care we have for our community. We couldn't, we shouldn't, I hope we never do, contain that love for all around us in our community. Is a broken and hurting community who needs to see and needs to hear of this power of Christ. That's what they were doing in Philadelphia. They were the church that had the open door, and Jesus was saying, "Now stand by the door." Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, they couldn't. They couldn't, and they wouldn't let the door close. Now, the location of the church helped them. This was the youngest church, Philadelphia, of any of the seven churches. When John wrote these words, the church was only 300 years old. Philadelphia was a planned city. It was bordered by three different countries. It was an outpost for Greek culture. A realtor would tell us location, location, location. God had placed the church at Philadelphia in a strategic spot for terrific opportunities to reach not only that city, but all of those around. I believe it is no mistake at all that First Baptist Church Lufkin is right where we are, downtown in this community. Now, I know the church years ago contemplated moving out of downtown. Downtown seemed to be changing. It was deteriorating. The growth around the church was not what it used to be. And the church spent many months and maybe years contemplating, what do we do? I am so grateful that the Spirit of God led the people of the church at that time to stay where we are. An open door in our location. Yesterday, I drove around our church. I would like to tell you I do that often, but I don't. But I got in my car and I drove down Grosbeck from 1st to 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, until you run into Chestnut. And I cut over one block and came up Bremont, 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, 2nd, 1st. Of course, then I had to make my way around the Civic Center and I went back down by Atkinson over by Taylor Brothers Plumbing. I'm not the best counter when you're driving and people are looking at you like, what's he doing? But I counted over 110 homes in our community near our church. And maybe I'm mistaken, but I don't know of anyone in our church who lives in any of those homes. And I could be wrong. Since our offices have now moved to the front of the building here on Bremont, I'm amazed every day the amount of traffic that goes up and down Bremont. And not only vehicles, but walking, people, pedestrians. I'm not sure where they're going. Are they going downtown to First and they come up here? Why? Back when we were on Grosbeck, I didn't notice that. But I'm amazed at the people who walk and drive by our church. I wonder if they ever see our church as an open door for them. I wonder if they even realize what we do in here. Have they ever tried to pull on the door? Have they ever come and worship with us? 110 homes, maybe all of those folks go to another church. There are maybe two, maybe three other active churches, maybe, in this area that I drove yesterday. I think there's no mistake that God has placed us here for this time. First Baptist Church, the door is open. The door is open, and we've been called to stand by the door. Yes, location is important. And of course, the power of God through Christ and the Spirit is important. But I've read this now 6 times to each of the churches. Each letter ended the same. The church at Sardis, the church. Let him who has ears hear what the Spirit says to the church. The gospel that we have in our hearts, in our lives, the gospel has been entrusted to us. What will we do with it? Do we have ears to hear? Do we have eyes to see? Love Lufkin, I rode with Walker, and we were able to make it to every site where you were working. Walker drives a bit chaotic, and we were able to make it there by the grace of God. We made it. And we were at 3 schools, you were. We went to Hurdy, we went to Dunbar, and we went to Slack. And as I walked through those campuses trying to find where you were working, I was overwhelmed when I thought of each campus school in our community. The opportunities that teachers have to see and to hear the needs of students. The opportunities that administrators have to encourage their teachers and workers. The opportunities that students have to interact with each other at the high school and at the junior high. The opportunity that parents have. Those years go so quickly. Those 12, 13 years, that segment to interact with teachers and students and parents. Do we have ears to hear the needs that are in our own schools and eyes to see? Many of us who are in the workforce, we spend 8, 10, 12, 14 hours a day in our work site. And we go home and we barely have time to eat and go to bed. And then we do it again. And we do it again. All of those hours when we're with our co-workers, are we allowing the presence of Christ and the hope of the gospel? Are we having ears to hear? Those folks in our office, they're all around us. Do they know the door is open? Why are you in the club that you're in? Why do you go to DRT and DAR? Well, that's part of your heritage. That's what you like to do. Are you only in junior league so you can survive until you become a sustaining member? Is Lions Club just so you can serve the community and do the rodeo? Think of the opportunity we have in our social clubs to be the presence of Christ, to be the light. Because in those very clubs of folks who have the appearance of having it all together, you and I both know that there's so many needs. So many needs. Oh, they may wear a mask, but the needs are real. We go to the soccer fields and we spend hours and hours on Saturday primarily to play soccer and to encourage our children. Yes, we go to football to watch football. And we go to the baseball field to watch those kids play. But couldn't it also be that opportunity where we're surrounded by folks that they see in us the hope and the faith and the love of Christ? In these places, in so many more, Christ sets before us an open door. As believers and followers of Jesus Christ, the door is open. What will we do? The Pew Research Foundation, there's a lot of research, especially for faith-based organizations, recently had these statistics that just jumped at me. 50% of unchurched, that's our way of saying lost, those who would say, I'm not a believer, don't need to be a believer, I'm not there. 50% of unchurched report that they would visit a church if someone they trusted invited them. 50%. 50% of lost said, if I only knew someone that I trusted and if they invited me, yes, I would go with them. 70%, according to Pew, 70% of new church members say a personal invitation was the deciding factor to join that fellowship. In our networks, in our community, in our where we do life, there is so much hunger and hurt. There are problems and pain. I don't even know if we can imagine. People are looking. People in Lufkin, Texas are looking for an open door. If we would open our eyes. And as Jesus said, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says. But instead of having eyes and instead of hearing ears, I'm afraid we are so quick to condemn, so fast to judge, to call down the wrath and fire from heaven. Maybe what we should do is simply ask that person, how are you? Really? How are you doing? Or can you tell me about your family? You talk about breaking ice. You talk about opening doors. Tell me about your kids. I really want to know. Tell me about your parents. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus is saying as strongly as he said to Philadelphia, he says to us, the door is open. Stand by it. Sam Shoemaker, an Episcopal priest, one of the co-founders of Alcohol Anonymous, wrote a very moving poem I want to conclude with. It's entitled, So I Stand Near the Door. You may be familiar with it. Hear the words. I stand by the door. I neither go too far in nor stand too far out. The door is the most important door in the world. It's the door through which all mankind walk when they find God. There's no use my going way inside and staying there when there are so many outside, and they, as much as I, crave to know where the door is. And all that so ever many find, what they find is only a wall where the door ought to be. They creep along the wall like blind men, with outstretched, groping hands, feeling for a door, knowing there must be a door, yet they never find it. So I stand by the door. The most tremendous thing in the world is for men and women to find that door, the door to God. The most important thing that any person can do is to take hold of one of those blind, groping hands and to put it on the latch. The latch that only clicks and opens to their own touch. Men die outside the door as starving beggars die on cold nights in cruel cities in the dead of winter. They die for want of what is just within their grasp. They live on the other side of it. They die because they haven't found it. Nothing else matters compared to helping them find it, to open it, to walk in and find Him. So I stand at the door. I admire people who go way in. Those who go way in. Those who know the depths and the heights of God. Oh, those who go way in, I admire. But I wish they would not forget how it was before they got in. Then they would be able to help the people who have not yet even found the door, or the people who want to run away again from God. You can go in too deeply and stay too long and forget the people outside the door. As for me, I long to take my old accustomed place near enough to God to hear Him and to know He is there, but not so far from men and women as not to hear them and remember that they are there too. Where? Outside the door. Thousands of them. Millions of them. But more important for me, that one, those two, 10 of them, whose hands I'm intended to put on the latch. So I stand by the door and wait for those who seek it. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. So I stand by the door. Jesus said, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. God, help us to stand by the door. Shall we pray? God, we have a story to tell. We have a story to tell to our world of your love and your forgiveness. A story to tell of your grace. Oh, it's a great story. Most all of us in this room have heard the story. We know the story. We can preach the story, and sometimes we even live the story. But God, we've got to tell the story. There are too many groping, looking for the door If Jesus came to us, I wonder what he would say. Would he say the door to those on Grosbeck and Bremont, those on Abney, those on 5th, 4th? That door is pretty closed. God help us and forgive us. Let us stand by the door. It's my prayer as we tell the story of Jesus and his love. Amen.